not go back into the Garden of Eden is because of the image. The image, let me say it like this first. The cherubim. The word cherubim means image. And so if it was an image that kept them out from going in, it was the image and the flaming sword, which was the word. But they knew if they went back in, they would have to sacrifice themselves. They would maybe get cut by the...
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I want to talk about the blessing is in the lesson. The blessing is in the lesson. Let me back up a little bit and bring you up to speed so that you'll understand both the text and the theme. In verse 10, Paul is excited about the continuation of the support by the Philippian church of his ministry. And he said he realized that they desired to support him, but there were times they lacked opportunity. And that word opportunity in that context literally meant they lacked the means of support. And he was excited that they were able to once again continue their support. Amen. But verse 11 makes clear, as he puts into perspective, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So one of the things that he wanted to let them know is I'm excited, but I'm not excited for myself. I'm excited for you. And you know, the strange thing about folk is when you start talking about money, they think you want it from them for yourself. And Paul was trying to share some principles with them, because if you would continue to read on, he says in the 19th verse of the 4th chapter, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, but when you back up a little further, you'll discover the reason he says that is because he says, in my need, You blessed me. You helped me. You supported me. So my prayer for you is that God does for you what you did for me. Somebody missed that. You see, one of the things that you need to understand is if you only give because it's a needful situation, then most times when you're blessed, it's going to be in the same spirit. How many of us want to be blessed abundantly, not just when we need something? We want to be blessed all the time, not just, but if we sow to people's need, then we will reap in our need. And so Paul makes this clear. If you get some time to read this at home in your own devotional time, you'll discover this. But he makes this clear, and I just, as I walk through this, he says, not that I speak in respect of want. He says, I'm not saying this to you because I want something else from you. But also, there is a dual reality in this word want, because when you look at it again, it also bespeaks of poverty and lack and slack. And he says, I also want to make clear that I'm not speaking in respect of poverty. There are some people who think you're not holy unless you're broke. That you can't be close to God unless you're poor. Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. Jesus was never a big proponent of people being poor, though their situations and circumstances many times were poor. But listen to what Paul says to us. He says, for I have learned. Now, how did you learn this, Paul? There were three ways we suggest he learned it. First one is education. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So Paul made clear, I've studied the word of God, and part of this knowledge to help me understand God's word and God's will and God's way came from education. He said, but there's another way, in essence, that we learn. We learn from experience. And experience can be a mighty expensive teacher. Because even though it's an expensive teacher, we don't always learn the lesson. Think about how many times have you made the same mistake over and over and over again, not realizing that experience will cost you more than you want to pay, keep you longer than you want to stay. And all of this is because experience does not always teach you the lesson. But then thirdly, he makes clear that you can learn by the example of others. You see, you don't have to go down the wrong road, tear your life apart to realize that what someone else has done will happen to you if you do the same thing. You don't have to reinvent the wheel to know that principles work regardless of who practices them. And so regardless of who practices the principles, they profit from them. And so that's why we need to study the word of God. If it worked for Abraham, if it worked for Moses, if it worked for Elijah, if it worked for all of these other prophets and people of God, if we practice the same principles, we have the promise of the same prophet. He said, I've learned that. But notice he says, in whatsoever state I am, there place with possession to be content. See, there's another lesson here. Many of us cannot be content where we are with what we have because we want to be like the Joneses. We want to keep up with everything that comes out in style, in fashion. We want to live above our means. We want to do what everybody else is doing. And we can't be content with such things as we have. But notice here, he says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am there with place and possession to be content. Here's something else. This word content is important for us to understand because a whole lot of us have gotten in trouble because we don't know how to be content. We have rushed life. We have made some bad decisions because we could not be content until we heard from God or understood how the thing would unfold or know exactly that that was the call of God on our lives. And so we made steps without hearing from God, and we let anxiety fill us so much so that we did things on our own. And we were not content enough to say, "Thy will be done."
Amen.
He says, "I've learned in this state therewith to be content, not to be complacent." Uh-huh. There is a big difference between contentment and complacency. Complacency is any way the wind blow is cool with me. Complacency is where you figure, well, this is the lot I've been given, so I'll just live with it. I won't try and do anything different. Hey, if God don't change it, I'm just going to allow it to be. When there are things that God allow so that we will be tested, so that in the test we are strengthened and developed and brought to new levels. It's not for us to stay there. It's for us to grow and develop from there. And yet we become complacent. He didn't say therewith to be, and here's another word that I want you to see, contrary. Because some folk become contrary because they start thinking, well, why is this happening to me? And why the Lord didn't let this happen to somebody else? I pay my tithes, I give my offerings, I serve in this ministry, I do this, I've been on the Lord's side, so and so, so. And we become cantankerous with our contrariness. No, God puts you in that position, allowed you to go through, deal with that, so that he could make you what he wanted you to be. Listen. You have got to deal with some things in order to be developed the way God wants you to be. God allowed Job to go through what he went through because God knew what was inside of Job, but it had not yet been brought out of him. Here's another thing he didn't say, that I've learned how to be content in whatsoever state I am. In whatsoever state I am, therewith content. Or rather, therewith to be consumed. God never put you in a place for that place to devour you, for that place to beat you down to nothing, for you to lose and go away a loser and a victim. No, you're never put in a place to experience that. So why should you be content? You should be content in knowing that the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
You should be content in knowing that this too shall pass. You should be content in knowing that God has a purpose for allowing me to go through this storm or go through this trouble or go through this trial, and he's not through with me. When God gets through with me, I shall come forth as pure gold. My contentment is there is a purpose for my lesson. And if I look closely, there is a blessing in the lesson. Then he moves on. Listen, after talking about what he's learned, verse 12 says, I know both, listen, how to be abased, and I know how to abound.
Yes.
Everywhere and in all things. Listen, I'm instructed both to be hungry and to be full, both to abound and to suffer need. Now look at him now. Let's look at this. He learned in verse 11 and he knows in verse 12. Paul has said, my issue is with people who are ever learning and don't know. Y'all didn't get that, did you? See, there ought to be a point and a place after learning, you know. You've got the knowledge now to do what it is you've learned. So now he says, I know both how to be abased. Now it's interesting that he starts off with abased, because abased literally means to humble oneself, to bring oneself down to a low estate. Now I wondered why he started with this. But I could understand Paul's challenges, because Paul had been given so much. And here's a lesson we can learn, that when you've really been blessed, it's harder for you to be humble if you hadn't learned some things. Somebody don't hear me. God doesn't deal with big eyes. Folk who think that they're all that without him, got big heads, big ideas, to the point where they don't need God in the process of both their thoughts and their walk. It's important to understand that I am what God has made me. I have what God has given me. I shall become what God wants me to be. I can do what God gives me power to do. It's got to be about God and not about me. So he says, I know first of all how to be abased, to humble myself. Listen to that, Paul. Paul is the same one who said in the 12th chapter, the second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6, he says, for I would desire to boast, but I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me more than he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me to be. Listen, and then he says, I be exalted above measure. That was through the abundance of revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, but he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Listen. So Paul has made clear, I've learned how to humble myself. And I got news for anybody in here. If God has blessed you, caused you to excel, given you the ability to rise above others and things, and when you get to that point, don't forget where you come from. Because the same God that watched you go up and brought you with his support will watch you go down when he removes his support, since you think you don't need his support. And so he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to rise above. I know how to go to the next level. I know how to go to the top. And then he says, everywhere and in all things. Now, some of us might know how to be humble in some things. And some of us, you know how to abound in some things. And some of us are jacks of all trades and master of none. But Paul say, I've learned how to be abased and to abound everywhere. Amen. And in all things. Now look at this. What he's saying is, I have a balanced life. There's no area or arena or avenue of my life where there's not a balance that I do not operate in excellence. Listen at me here. He says, and he makes clear that his ability, because he said, verse 11, I learn. Verse 12, I know. And he's just trying to help you understand that you have got to walk through the process in order to prosper from the process. And he's making it clear that this doesn't happen in one area. And I'm so grateful for that, because Christians need to know that you are conquerors more than just in spiritual things. If you're a conqueror, you're a conqueror. And you ought to be a conqueror more than in just one area. Something's wrong if I'm just a conqueror in the church, but when I get outside the church, I'm no longer a conqueror. Something's wrong if I'm a victor in the church, but when I leave out the doors, I'm a victim. He says, everywhere and in all things, he says, I know. And I am instructed. Listen, both to be full and to be hungry. Now listen to this. His instructions comes from the Holy Ghost, who tells him, listen, Paul, and I thank God for that, because I need to throw this out parenthetically, that when you learn a lesson and you operate in that lesson, you're going to learn that it ain't on your own. The Holy Ghost is going to be the one behind the scenes, still telling you what to do, which direction to go. Listen, he'll be the one bringing back all things to your remembrance. And so he's instructed to be full. Now you might not know when you ought to be full, and it's tailed by some of our waistlines. I didn't think y'all would agree too much on that. And sometimes we don't know when to be hungry. But there are deeper principles at play here. It's not just talking about eating food. It's talking about participating in every area and arena in life whereby God, through the Holy Ghost, is leading us to partake in certain things and to reject certain things. Just because, listen, you're offered stuff don't mean you have to always accept stuff. And when I was younger, I did have a desire for food and stuff like that. And my mama used to tell me all the time, she said, baby, she said, if people say to you, you don't want any of this, do you? She said, they're telling you, you don't want any of that. And she said, you don't accept the offer. Because what they're really saying is, I don't want to give you none of this, but I'm offering to be polite. Did somebody hear me what I said here? You've got to know too, that there are things that people go through, sacrifices people make. You know, sometimes you go to folk house and they offer you some things, and it has nothing to do with them. It's you. You might not be hungry, but sometimes when the Holy Ghost knows that they have gone through a whole lot, they've sacrificed, you don't know what they've done to do that, and they offer you, and you're not, and the Holy Ghost will say, yes, accept it. Why? Because he knows the disappointment they would have felt, not because you didn't eat, but because they might have thought you were too big. You were too much. You were too highfalutin to eat at their house. Listen. And so he's making clear, but this is not just pertaining to food. Again, this has to do with the choices that are made and how men interact with us in those choices. So sometimes you'll discover that it's not about the flesh. It's about a spiritual reality that the Lord is allowing you to be led by the Spirit because he knows what's behind this situation. And then he goes on to say, both to abound and to suffer loss or need. Now, that's interesting because he says in the beginning of the verse, he knows both how to be abased and how to abound. This time he's saying both abound and suffer need. Well, what does that mean? Well, again, when you've learned the lesson of abounding, every now and then you ought to abound. Okay, here, let me help you understand. You learn, you know, you do. Verse 11, he learned. First part of 12, he knows. Then he says, both to abound. Do it, do it. There are things that God needs us to do in the earth realm as believers, to abound in this world, to accomplish in this world, to experience the abundance that he has placed in this world for us as children of the Most High God. He needs us to abound. He needs us to let our good works show. Let our light be seen. Why? So men can see them and give him glory. Amen. And then there are times when we need to suffer need. Don't need to go around bigoted and arrogant. Sometimes you need to be able to say, yes, I have needs also. Some of us get so high-minded where we can be in need and won't even open our mouths. And we just expect that everybody is a prophet or a prophetess. Well, I just thought you were new. I know I didn't have nothing. Well, you're looking like you got on all these fine clothes and you're riding good. How I know you ain't have gas money? You looking like you're pretty healthy and full. How I know you ain't got food at your house? But every now and then, you need to let folk know that you've suffered a need, that there are needs in your life, that there's something going on that they can be a blessing. Because sometimes folk will bless you when they think there is a need to bless you. Everybody don't bless you to be in abundance. Some people bless you because of need. Amen. And there are some, listen, there are some things that other folk can't get blessed until they release, and they can't release them because they think you don't need them. Now here comes my verse. That was the introduction. Verse 13 now. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Those of you, I preached this before, but I, it's a personal pronoun, but it's also a personal privilege. Here Paul is speaking about, again, what he has learned, what he knows, and what he has done. And he's recapping, but he's giving us yet an extensive view of what else comes with that.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. 877-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday